This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
There's an election happening, as you may have noticed, and we were talking to an independent candidate earlier on. In the past also, we have heard a great deal from the Labour Party about what their plans are for the GLBTI community and the bucket of money they want to throw in our direction. We don't know what the Liberals' plans are. They were supposed to be here to talk to us about it today, but they didn't turn up. So instead, we are going to be talking to Sue Pennycook, who is the Greens spokesperson on all these issues and, of course, already a Greens Member of Parliament. And she joins us on the line now. Good morning, Sue.
Morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well. Thank you.
Keeping busy.
Very busy.
Okay. Now, we had John Brumby obviously come out with what sounded, at least on the surface, like a very sort of pro-gay package of measures. So why should someone vote for you over him if they're now beginning to sort of get with the gay program?
Well, I think our policies are better than the Labor Party's policies, and I think they still have some issues that they haven't resolved, where they're the issue of gay marriage, for example. Sorry, I was just getting a bit of feedback there.
sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm not hearing it at this end, so...
Pardon?
I'm not hearing that at this end, so I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at some of the policies that you have. One issue, of course, which is a major thing with the gay community, is the religious exemptions to the anti-discrimination legislation.
That's right. Well, the Equal Opportunity Act was reviewed and rewritten basically last year, or early this year, as you know. And the it was still left in there that religious organisations and religious schools, or faith-based schools, could still discriminate on a range of attributes, including gender identity, sexual activity. I don't know how that could even be ascertained.
Going to get you to wear a monitoring bracelet or something.
But also parental status and marital status. The government defends it by saying, well, it has to be an inherent requirement of the job, but I can't see how any of those things could be an inherent requirement of the job, and I really can't see how an employer could be... in any way, it would be any way appropriate for a reporter for an employer to ask those questions.
Yeah, I heard a story recently from a friend of mine here who who said that his brother had been fired from a job with a Christian organisation for having a number plate on his car with the word "gay" in it.
Well,
strikes me as very bizarre.
Hopefully, he's taken that to the commission, because I think if these sort of things are happening, people should take it to the commission so that they know, you know, they're getting feedback as to what might be happening.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, you could make, you know, a small argument that religious belief might be required by a person who's going to teach that particular religious
sure.
denomination.
But it surely doesn't...
All the rest of it, I don't think a case can be made for.
No, I don't think it really matters. Well, I personally don't think it really matters if they're teaching mathematics or whatever, what their religion is.
No.
It doesn't seem to me to be...
what their marital status or parental status is.
No, I mean, the important point is their quality as a teacher.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you've also said that the Greens would legislate for same-sex marriage in Victoria. Now, we're going to be talking to Rodney Croom from Tasmania a little later on this issue, because apparently the Greens down there are bringing in a bill to do this.
Yeah.
But do you think that has a chance of getting up? Do you think that would stand up to a challenge if you got one through?
It's an interesting area because what's happened is we already have our same-sex marriage bill or equality in marriage bill in the Senate that Sarah Hanson-Young introduced in the last parliament and is reintroducing, and also that will be introduced in the lower house now. But in the meantime, we've had the advice from Professor George Williams that because the Marriage Act was changed by the Howard government to specifically mention that it's a marriage is between a man and a woman, that, in his opinion, leaves open for states to legislate for same-sex marriage.
That'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
That the national change was made, because it's better to do it that way. But it's just interesting that if that doesn't occur, well, we can move at state level.
Right. Another issue is, also this is a state issue especially, this is adoption.
Yeah.
Now, the government, the state government has promised, the Labor government has promised to review the Adoption Act, but that's as far as it goes.
I would have preferred the verb amend.
Mm-hmm. And you would push for amendment?
Well, I moved an amendment when we were debating, I think it was I can't remember which bill it was now, just off the top of my head, sorry. Mm. But I moved an amendment then to... I didn't move an amendment. I beg your pardon. I just raised the issue in the context of the assisted reproductive treatment bill that we passed in 2008, that this needed to be amended as well.
Yeah, we were talking about the various Greens policies for the GLBTI community. Now, among the things that John Brumby has promised is... quite a fair whack of funding for a number of GLBTI initiatives to fund a GLBTI community body of some sort. We don't know which one. To set up a ministerial advisory committee and also to turf a certain amount of money into GLBTI mental health in a couple of places. What's your response to all that?
Well, they're all positive moves. There's not a lot of detail. So, I mean, all I know is what's in the press release. So... there's, I think it's 400,000, is it?
For a peak body.
Yeah, for the peak body to advise Cabinet, which is a great idea, because obviously there's still a long way to go to deal with the issues in the community, in the wider community, but having this advisory body to advise Cabinet on what needs to be done is a good thing. So I'm supportive of that. As I say, I don't know any detail about it, though.
Yeah, well, you've got in your policy statement, you say you're in favour of establishing formal, permanent and adequately resourced liaison groups.
Yeah, this doesn't look permanent, though. It says 4 years, so...
Yeah, I was a bit puzzled by that. There's one of the things that plagues this whole issue, when we get money for the gay community, for a health issue, for whatever else, it always seems to be either a pilot project or it's time-limited funding.
Which is exactly why we have put the word permanent in there in our policy.
Right, so you would
but
establish...
Of course, I can welcome them doing something.
Of course.
I can't understand why it would only be for 4 years, which
yes.
is obviously the next term.
Yeah, well, there are two bodies...
When there's clearly a need for something more permanent.
Yeah, well, there's two bodies we're talking about here. One is a ministerial advisory committee and one is a community organisation, which they would fund for 4 years.
Yeah.
So there's two different things there, I think. I'm not sure whether their ministerial advisory committee was designed to be just 4 years or permanent. I'm not clear on that from their policy documents, and unfortunately Mr. Brumby hasn't responded to my invitation to come and talk to me about it.
Look, I'm no clearer than you on that, Doug, so I don't feel, you know, that I could comment any further, because I'm not sure.
I don't feel awfully safe about it, I must say. Now, you've also said, wherever possible, removing gender from government forms and documents. Now, why is this important?
Well, I think it's important in terms of women as well. There's a lot of documents that are written. In fact, there's a lot of parliamentary documents I've discovered. Mm. Since I've been in Parliament, that are written in the male, so as if everyone's a male.
Right.
So in fact, even there we have to catch up. So I think the idea there is to not be gender specific as much as possible, so that it's inclusive of everybody.
Because really, when you come down to it, why does the government need to know what your gender is anyway on a lot of these
That's
forms
right.
and things?
That's exactly right. And why is it presupposed that you are one or another?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Being a man, of course, I don't tend to notice these things very much.
Well, yeah, I used to have that discussion with my father.
Yeah.
He used to say, because things were, you know, even like, if you go back 30 years, I had those discussions with my dad, you know, 20 or 30 years. He'd say, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. And I said, well, it doesn't matter because you don't notice it because it's directed at you.
Yes.
It's not directed at me.
Yeah, well, it's a bit like racism, isn't it? Unless you're on the receiving end of it, you don't notice it. You know, being a white male, one is in rather a privileged position. But ever since I had an Asian partner, which is going on for 18 years now, I've been very well made aware of a lot of things I was totally unaware of before. It doesn't half shake your complacency.
Yep.
Okay, anything else you'd like to say to the gay and lesbian community, why they should vote for you and the Greens?
Oh, well, I think, I mean, hopefully they could check out what I have been doing since, even before I was in Parliament, but in the 4 years in Parliament, to amend the laws at any chance I could get. You know, in terms of, for example, the relationship register, I noticed that the government has said that they will allow partners to be legally registered even if only one partner is connected to Victoria. Well, I moved an amendment to the relationship bill to that effect, and the government voted against it. And that was 2 years, 2 to 3 years ago. So that could already be in place if they hadn't voted against it. And I don't know why they did, because it was such a simple thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to make sure there could be a ceremony attached to a relationship. Register of relationship, and the government wouldn't agree to that. Those small things. But the other things I'm interested in is you were talking before about mental health.
Yeah.
I met Patrick McGorry a couple of weeks ago and had a chat to him, and I saw him on the TV last night talking about how, you know, only, you know, about a third of people who have mental health issues get any help, whereas, you know, if you have a physical injury, pretty well you will get help. You know, it's up around 100%. And we know the issues with mental health amongst GLBTI people, particularly young people. So that's an issue that I'm very, very interested in and would like to get more involved in the next few years to see more progress there.
The best of luck with it. We just had a message in, by the way, from the Liberal Party. Well, actually, from Tom McFeely, who is standing for the Liberals. He's the landlord of the Peel, and he is a gay man.
And he
points out that he's got several interviews arranged on Joy, so we will be hearing the Liberal point of view. In fact, he's going to be on SatMag, and I'm going to be talking to him myself this weekend. But we just don't have anyone from the Liberals here today. So thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Most welcome, Doug, anytime.
That was Sue Pennycook there from the Greens.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.